When children are making big life decisions, here's what they need to hear from their parents, according to Bill Elliff.
God wants you to know His will more than you want to know it, because His reputation is at stake. And so if you'll pursue Him, that's going to happen. Now, God has put in your life some counselors, and the first two are mom and dad. And we are protectors and we're responsible. So we're gonna be in this thing. We're gonna laugh with you about it. We're gonna cry with you about it. We're gonna pray with you about it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of The Quiet Place Devotional for July 4th, 2018. All week, Nancy's been talking with Bill and Holly Elliff. They're no strangers to most of our listeners. Holly is a regular contributor to Revive Our Hearts. She and Bill are parents of 8 children, and Bill is a teaching pastor at the Summit Church in North Little Rock, Arkansas. We've been hearing a practical discussion on parenting this week, and we're going to jump back in. Here's Nancy.
Let's talk about leading your children to Christ, because I know Christian parents want for their children to know Christ. How have you handled evangelizing your children? How are you presenting the gospel to them? Can little ones come to faith in Christ? How have you approached that?
Well, in our home, you know, as a pastor, and in honestly, most a lot of good followers of the Lord who get their kids around the right environments, they're hearing the gospel. They know how to parrot back the statements.
Right.
They know that Jesus died for my sins. They may not understand what that means. I think, you know, there has to be a basic understanding that we're pouring into the life of our kids and we're answering their questions. We're talking when things come up. I think we're proactively teaching the gospel to our kids and referring to the gospel. So we're laying that seedbed of biblical truth in there all the time. The difficulty comes in committed Christian homes of knowing when is that child really ready. And, you know, this really goes to your theology of salvation. I believe, and Holly and I believe, that only Christ can save anybody and that He draws us to Himself. And so it's initiated really with the Lord. So we look for that. And by that I mean, you know, my kids, since they were really small, could tell you everything about Jesus, and they loved Jesus. What was not to love about Jesus? And they wanted Jesus, and I could have had them pray and ask Jesus to come in their heart. I could also probably have had them pray to ask Santa Claus to come in their
heart.
You know? So how do we know? Well, you look for two things, I think. Number one, you look for conviction of sin. A person has to realize they're lost before they can be saved. Now, that can be over a minor issue, you know, some disobedience to my parents, but that suddenly there's this difference. There's this spirit-wrought conviction that comes in the heart of a child, and they realize, you know what, I'm a sinner, and it has consequences to me.
And not just that I disobeyed my parents.
Exactly.
But that sin is against God.
And by the way, this is one of the reasons that good discipline in the home is so important, because it's establishing that there's right behavior, wrong behavior, there are consequences for our sin, and it's a tool that God uses to help us realize our sinfulness and our need. And so that's an important part of the whole salvation process. So I think looking for that genuine conviction of sin, and then faith is a gift. Looking for that genuine, again, spirit-brought faith to believe, you know what, I'm separated from Christ. He did something for me on the cross, but I can be saved. He will save me. I really believe this will happen. And I think kind of discerning that in our children as much as we can is important.
I can remember, especially with a couple of our kids, with one of our daughters, I went into her room and she was just weeping uncontrollably. She could not talk.
Like how old?
She was distraught. She was probably 7 or so. Mm-hmm. And I finally got her to tell me what was wrong, and she was brokenhearted because she had had a fight with her best friend, and she recognized that it was wrong, that she had responded in a wrong way, and she was brokenhearted over her hardness of heart. She couldn't have said it in those words. Mm-hmm. But God used that moment to show her her own sin. And, you know, she just cried out. She said, "Mom, I just need Jesus to save me so I won't do this anymore." And, you know, it was just a very natural progression from that recognition in her life to the moment when she understood that Christ was the answer to that issue in her life. Another one of our daughters was pretty selfish and had her toys were her things, and she didn't want anyone touching them. She was very territorial about them. And the Lord started prompting her heart about sharing one of her dolls with her sister. And she kept saying no. But there was a moment when God showed her the groundwork of her heart where she recognized that she needed to give that doll to her sister, and it opened up a tender place in her heart where God could then move in, convict her of sin, and bring her to an understanding of the fact that Christ was so unselfish that he gave his whole life for us. And so, again, your kids are different. It's going to be different with every child. And the way they respond to Christ is going to be different. So don't expect that it's all going to look the same. Your church may have an invitation where the kids walk an aisle, and that's great. But you need personal conversation with them. It can be with your pastor or a leader in the church, to make sure that God is calling them. It's not a rote action, but that God is calling their heart to obedience to him.
And I think another thing that could alleviate our fears a little bit, we say, "Oh no, I'm going to ruin my child if I don't manage this moment well." You know, God is not playing games with our children. And I think as parents really going to the Lord and saying, "God, help me. You know, help me to discern this. Help me to manage this well."
And we've prayed for our kids' salvation and their mate from the moment that they were tiny.
Well, and we had one of our children that wanted to get saved real bad. You know, and our tendency was to put them off until finally they would come to us and say, you know, I think it was one of our kids that said, "Dad, if you don't let me get saved, I'm going to die and go to hell, and it's your fault." And so, you know, I think we would kind of delay that as until we saw the Lord's activity in their life. And one of these girls just wanted to get saved, you know. And finally, honestly, against my best judgment, I just didn't quite feel right about it. But she pestered us for so long that we finally prayed with her and took the steps. She was baptized. But I still felt uneasy. So what am I to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went to the Lord, and Holly and I prayed, and we said, "Look, Lord, you love her more than we do. And so we're asking you, if this has not been legitimate here, would you save her? Would you save her?" 2 years later, in a life action crusade in our church, she came down at 12 o'clock one night weeping and said, "I'm not saved." And had a genuine encounter with the Lord, and is one of our most profoundly committed children now, with deep convictions in her heart. And so I think, you know, God wants to help us in parenting. He is available if we'll just ask him. Just ask him. Just say, "Lord, I don't know how to do this. Help me lead my child to Christ initially and continually." And he'll give you the grace you need.
Because it isn't just a one-time point in time. Right. Certainly there are points along the way, and there is a point at which we step from darkness into light. But walking in that grace and walking in Christ is it's a lifetime, and you want to be leading your children in that whole process. In fact, I remember the family devotional that my parents were using in our family when I was a little girl. I was the oldest of 6 children at the age of 5. And early on, my parents were using this book called Leading Little Ones to God. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that book, it's still in print, by the way, and we have that available in our resource center if some of our listeners would like that. But it goes through the Bible, kind of, you know, the Bible story, but also with a doctrinal grid to it, so that you're really being
catechized.
Yeah, that's the word I want. But that's really what parents are wanting to do, is to lead their little ones to God, but realizing that the great shepherd, the one who leads us, leads them too and draws them to himself. So what an important thing to be praying that God will open their hearts, draw their hearts, reveal Christ to them. Because otherwise, you know, we're raising little Pharisees, little self-righteous good kids, but not necessarily godly kids who really know Christ.
There have been a million parenting mistakes that have been overcome by somebody who prayed.
Yeah, that's right.
My mother was a simple country woman who loved Jesus with all of her heart and prayed. She read the Bible, tried to do what it said and under the power of the Holy Spirit.
And believed that Jesus was going to be there when she prayed.
She believed. So, you know, we talk about this honestly, but the sad reality is that most people don't pray very much. And, you know, a study was done of pastors and discovered that pastors years ago were only spending 7 minutes a day in the study of the Word of God in prayer. Now, I don't mean that has to be for a busy mom that she sits down and spends 3 hours every morning. It could be the Susanna Wesley method of throwing your apron over your head but just praying, just living in an atmosphere all day long where you get a phone call from your kid and you're breathing a prayer or you're praying with them over the phone and you're just all day long. But we are living in this atmosphere of prayer and communion, and which is an atmosphere of dependency that God honors because He's going to get the glory. And we're going to say, well, I prayed about that, and He did something. And we can illustrate that to our children, and they learn, hey, there is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God.
Well, I don't think I ever understood Paul saying that we're to pray without ceasing until I had several children.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we
Then you can't stop praying.
If we are with our kids and our heart is to see God's heart grown up in them, then we will find ourselves praying without ceasing while we're doing a million tasks throughout the day. We can pray wherever we are. We can pray no matter what we are doing. God is still listening. And while we're driving carpool or doing laundry or cooking dinner or taking care of ailing parents, whatever we're trying to accomplish that day, God can be right there in the midst. And as we do that, we are modeling for our children, here's how you do life. God is there, and you invite Him in.
So what are the things you find yourselves praying for your children? You have little ones. Well, you have teenagers and young adult children. What are some of the things you pray for them?
Well, I think we pray prayers of protection a lot. You know, years ago when my kids were out, you know, away from me and that, you know, out on a event or something, and they came to mind quickly, I came to realize the Spirit of God is calling me to prayer. I can't wait to get to heaven and see what transactions occurred in that moment.
What God could see and knew
and
that
knew,
you had no way of knowing.
He alerted the one person that He knew was more deeply concerned about that child than anybody. And so when your child comes to mind, you know, pray. Mm-hmm. Instantly pray. That's a divine call from the Spirit of God. So I think praying for prayers of protection. We have prayed tons of prayers of just for their wisdom, you know.
I pray for discernment a lot for my children so that they will be able to recognize the difference between good and evil, between truth and falsehood. And so if our kids grow up with discernment, even if I'm not there to shepherd them.
Which at some point you won't be.
Which I won't, and I shouldn't be. Those reins need to gradually be turned over to our children as they get older. But if they have the quality of discernment, then even if it's in a situation they've never encountered before, God's Spirit can give them direction. And that is far more important than even my ability to direct
right.
them. If they know they can hear from God, and in that moment they can pray and God will say to them, this is the way, walk ye in it, and they will listen to it and they will respond to it. So I think discernment is a huge quality.
I think praying that our kids will experience Christ. Not that they'll know, you know, we want them to know about it, but we want the experiential mm-hmm. knowledge of Christ. Mm-hmm. We want them to fall in love with Jesus, you know, to really have a passionate, genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ is a critical prayer to pray for them. And in that regard, too, that they would see every moment of life as this call to dependency, the call to His side, the call into the inner closet with the Lord to experience Him. So I think about this a lot with particularly our older kids, that they would get it, that the purpose of the mm-hmm. exercise is God has given you a moment. It's not a problem about your car. It's not that you don't have enough money to buy a wedding ring. It's not that you don't know how to discipline your children here. It's that all of these are about faith. All of these are about dependency and experiencing the Lord and to see it in that context.
I love that prayer in Psalm chapter 90, verse 16. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And what a great prayer for families. It says, let your work be seen by your servants. That's us. We want to see the work of God. And your splendor by their children. And what a prayer that the children would have their own. And we've done this in our ministry. We've prayed for our staff families, for the children of our staff, that we would see the works of God. But that our children and the children of our other staff would see the splendor of God. That they would have their own firsthand intimate, experiential mm-hmm. knowledge of God. Because you think, and I know, Bill, you've studied this, about the rate at which young people are graduating from Christian homes, Christian school, homeschool, Christian churches, youth groups, going to college, and leaving their faith.
Right.
And now even earlier.
And even
college.
Earlier. Mm-hmm. But and we have to ask ourselves a question, what is it they haven't— what have they not seen?
Mm-hmm.
What have they missed? And we know God has to turn the light on, but I wonder if we're praying intentionally enough, Lord, let them see you mm-hmm. so that they will desire you more than anything or anyone else.
Nancy, you're pointing out something that's so critical, that there is a dramatic difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Yeah.
There's a dramatic difference between, well, I took him to church, you know, he got the stories— and is that enough? No.
Took him to send him to youth group.
Yeah. Right. I want my children to experience the Lord, to know that He is real, that it's about every moment of the common day, that worship happens 24/7. You know, all those things that it is integrated into the – it's woven into the tapestry of their life, you know, with every thread.
But that means it has to be woven into the tapestry of your life.
My life,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It can't be just a category of your
no.
life.
And I think, too, allowing our children to grow up with a big picture perspective on their own life, that the choices they make are not just about themselves, their lives will affect future generations. It's Psalm 78, you know, saying we're going to tell these things to the next generation so that they can tell it to the next generation so that God will be glorified. And so if my kids grow up with eternal perspective in the sense of recognizing that what happens in their lifetime will go beyond their lifetime. And so it's that thing of affecting those who are coming behind them. They can grasp that at an early age. And so it's very helpful when they hit those teenage years of drama that they do not really believe that life is just about them, if they have grown up seeing that it's a bigger picture than just their lifetime.
You know, I do not know how my mother did this, but my mother made me think through Christ I could do anything. And she instilled a sense of God developed destiny in me that I remember as a child thinking, you know, God's going to use me to change the world. Now, he may do that as a, you know, as a bricklayer or a preacher or whatever, but he has big things planned for my life. And when you think that every one of your children is going to be a point through which streams of generations are going to come, you know, that one person can change the world and does change the world in one direction or another.
That's right.
So I think praying for this, that our kids will have a vision for their life that's big, that's huge, that drives them to say, I'm not going to tamper with some other things over here. You know, there are a lot of things that I thought in my life, I can't do that because it's going to mess up the trajectory that God has for me. There was a calling, a sense of calling on my life, and I think a lot of that came from my mother and my dad's prayers.
Have there been any moments with some of your children where they just weren't getting it, didn't have that heart, you couldn't make them have it, and where you found yourselves just really feeling desperate for God to turn on the light in that child's life?
I can think about a moment in one of our daughter's lives where she was dating a guy that she really liked that we did not feel right about, and we were really concerned, even though he was a believer, we were really concerned that he was not the right fit for her. And finally, after really praying about it, we sat down with her and said to her, we really are not feeling good about this, and let's talk about this. She did not want to really talk about that at that moment. She was not really open to doing anything about that at that moment. But we kept praying and kept pursuing that conversation. And there was a moment about 3 months later where she came back to us and said, I am so sorry I didn't listen to you, because I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. And I know that it's not right. Now, it was still hard for her to break off that relationship because she had pursued it and wanted to pursue it, but God gave her the grace to do that.
Well, and the enemy kept kind of pulling her back into the
right.
That
the guy kept pursuing her, so it was very hard.
So this wasn't an overnight conversation.
Right.
This was a pretty long pilgrimage.
Right.
And
how did you talk with your children about preparing for marriage and choice of a mate?
Well, we've prayed for them since they were little bitty that when God brought the right man or woman into their life, they would know that they know that they know. Kind of the same way Scripture says you know that you're saved because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And so we've prayed that they would recognize that in their mate and know that that was God's person for them. Again, if there is a lifestyle commitment toward pursuing Christ in everything you do, then it's only natural that as you pursue relationships, that will be the sounding board for it. That will be what sets your course, even as you pursue your mate, that you're going to be pursuing the Lord first and asking for direction. And nobody does that perfectly. But
well, here's another huge area for prayer, not only just about a mate, but about every relationship. I mean, I think we prayed about that as much as anything, about their friends.
Roommates
in college, because all those are influencers on their life and people that they will influence. So there's a lot of praying that has to happen there. I think another thing about their eventual mate is establishing kind of the ground rule that, hey, your parents are responsible before God for you until you get married. I mean, all our kids know that. They, you know, and it's just, I guess, through conversations we've had all along the way, you know, when one of my daughters is dating somebody or wants to date somebody, there's a little process about that. Mm-hmm. And she knows that, and our boys know that God is going to speak to us, too, about that. And so this is not a heavy-handed, legalistic kind of thing. It hopefully is a joyful thing, and they get it that this is God's protection for their life. Sometimes they don't want to hear that. In the case that we talked about just a moment ago, as an illustration, but I don't think I think all of our children understand that we're deeply involved in this process of helping them as we think through together and pray through together about their future mate.
And giving them perspective on God's sovereignty in their life, that if they will just pursue God in this step and the next step and the next step, chances are, if there's a mate out there that they're supposed to find, in the pursuit of God's sovereignty in their life, they will encounter that person. And so if early on they believe that's how you make decisions, that's how you make choices, is to pursue allowing God to be sovereign in your life over every area, then God being sovereign over your mate is just the next progressive step.
I've said a lot of times to my kids, you know, God doesn't play games with us. He's not trying to withhold things from us. He says, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you search for me with all your heart. He's not capricious, you know. He's not just kind of
flippant or not
or
listening.
Toying with you, you know. God wants you to know his will more than you want to know it, because his reputation is at stake. And so if you'll pursue him, that's gonna happen. Now, God has put in your life some counselors. And the first two are mom and dad, and we are protectors and we're responsible. So we're gonna be in this thing. We're gonna laugh with you about it. We're gonna cry with you about it. We're gonna pray with you about it. And
you're gonna have siblings weighing in on it too. I've been around when
stories,
that was going on at your house.
There are right. stories there, but
it's a family affair, right?
It is a family affair, absolutely. Yeah. So they have to sign off on this new guy or new girl, pretty much too.
Your kids need your involvement when they're young, and that involvement never stops through the transition into adulthood. Bill and Holly Eliff have been talking with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth about walking with children through various seasons of life. Staying involved in your children's lives is a huge commitment, but it's also a huge privilege. Bill and Holly know what it's like to walk with children through ups and downs of life, and they consider all of it as a gift from God. They write about children being a gift in their book, Turning the Tide. They'll challenge you to think through what you believe about children. Are they a blessing from God or a burden? I hope you'll think about this important question for yourself and get a copy of the booklet. When you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any size, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy. Your gift means a lot to us here in the summer when donations usually drop. Your support will help us keep calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. When you call with your support, ask for Turning the Tide. The number is 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll send one booklet per household for your donation this week. Do you know that your relationship with Christ affects your kids? Bill and Holly will be back tomorrow to show why your intimacy with Christ makes such a big difference. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth is encouraging you to invest in your children. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.